We open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. And also a reminder, you might have Psalm 139 opened towards the end of Psalm 139. We'll be looking at some of those verses directly together, beginning with verse 7. Just one verse in 1 Kings 8, although I'll give you the context as we go. 1 Kings 8, verse 27. Hear now the holy, living, active word of God. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Let me read this once more and let me give you the context in terms of this is King Solomon, and he has built the temple that David instructed him to build for the Lord God to dwell in and manifest himself for his worship. In Israel, it is to replace the tabernacles to be more permanent. And while there is some good intentions behind it and God allows for this plan, yet we'll see that it's really insufficient in terms of what it's meant to do completely. And so as Solomon has built this temple and he's now asking for God to indwell it, and God does in a special way, though not completely, as he says. And this will be where God continues to be seen in fellowship with his people as they offer sacrifices. And yet, as he's offering it right now, he recognizes its limitation. He says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Now, this is one of the verses that Thomas Watson referenced and commented on in his Body of Divinity, his sermons through the Shorter Catechism, Westminster Shorter Catechism. And some of what I read or went on to read, I wasn't able to complete it before our Wednesday study. It was much longer than I expected, but I did, and I'm still working through it, but I wanted to come back to this. This is one of the things that I really felt would be nice to revisit with you. I think studying God, really that's ultimately what we're always doing, is so important, but particularly to study God directly. This warrants review, and it does have a nice overlap with Psalm 19, verse 14, in terms of we're always in God's presence. We're always aware that we're in God's presence. So we pray that our thoughts of our heart and the words of our mouth would be acceptable to him, because there's nowhere we can go where we're not in his presence. Related to our text this evening, Watson writes this: infinity may be applied to all God's attributes. That's why that Shorter Catechism number 4 says, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, truth. Of course, he has other attributes. Those are a smaller summary. But notice, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. He's absolutely these things. He's infinitely all his attributes. And then Watson quotes Augustine, who says, in no place is God's being either confined or excluded. There's no place where he is confined to and he's not other places, and there's also no place that he's not part of it, and there's no place he's excluded. He is everywhere. He is infinite. Watson goes on to say this, and this may be my favorite quote from him in this book so far, and I think one to revisit and marvel over. He says, God's center is everywhere, and his circumference is nowhere. Try to imagine that, though. What is a center? Think of a wheel, right? Here's the center of the wheel. Okay, now that's not the only center. Here's the center. Here's the center. Here's the center. Here's it. And what's the circumference? It's the edge of the wheel, right? But there is no edge of the wheel. God is everywhere. Wherever you are, God is there. That's the center for God. But wherever you go, there's no end to where he is, wherever that center is. That's a tremendous way of saying it. I think if you take nothing else with you, take that quote with you. God's center is everywhere, and his circumference is nowhere. While God manifests himself in his temple, he can't be fit into anything in earth or in heaven? I give that to you as the main idea of our verse and its context. 1 Kings 8:27. While God manifests himself in his temple, he cannot be fit into anything in earth or in heaven. Notice it says God dwells on the earth in a sense, but he's beyond it. He dwells in the heavens, but he's beyond them. He's in the temple in a sense, but he isn't contained there. He is the creator, and he is beyond his creation's ability to try and make him fit perfectly into their places and into their imaginations and into their expectations. Watson writes, and I'm going to give you a lot of his quotes tonight by virtue of the book, and also, as you know, he's often understood as the most quoted Puritan, and I know where I'm at, and I know you'll enjoy it, so I'm going to share a lot with him tonight. He goes on to say, God, who bounds everything else, is himself without bounds. And it's more than omnipresence, that is, that he's everywhere present. It's his immanence. He is immediately everywhere. Because of his immensity, he is infinitely present. God is everywhere all the time, absolutely. Watson writes, God, who is infinite, is in all places at once, not only by his influence, but by his essence. God fills all places at once. Again, he is the center of everything and he has no circumference. God is in all places at once. He's not a little bit less somewhere else. He's in all places equally at once. And this is also by virtue of him being a spirit. He is ubiquitous as a spirit. Now, because of his omnipresence, that is, that he's everywhere present, he is also omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Ask Jonah if he could hide from God. He went to what, as far as he knew, was the end of the earth in Tarshish, right? Out by Spain, I think, at that time. And yet, God was there. Caused a storm, made him into the ocean. But it isn't just that God was there to make him do what he told him to do. Remember Jonah's prayer after he was in the belly of the sea, then he found himself where? In the belly of the great fish. And his prayer was toward the temple, notice. He prayed toward the temple. We always have the sense of we pray toward where God provides mediation for us. Of course, that temple is truly in heaven where Jesus is now, but he prayed toward the temple. And he said, thank you. He says, I was about to drown, and you saved me. So you see, God's presence, though, with his people is corrective. It's always restorative, and it's always deliverance as well. Wherever he is, he delivers us. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 6. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven, and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? And see, that's the point of the temple and the tabernacle. It's to have this place of his ceremonial system representing mediation, representing reconciliation, which pointed to Christ, and we know what it means now that Christ has come. But the idea of a gathering and with God's presence that would be with us is that a place for us to serve him, but he can't be contained there. A place for him to manifest himself amongst his people and in the midst of the world as the light of the world, but he can't be contained there. Simply be in awe. Simply be in awe of God. There's not enough awe of God. He is truly awesome. And I would encourage you as we think about this, we can't fully comprehend this. This is beyond our ability. But may it have that impression upon us of awe. Of glory. Thomas Watson says that heaven is his throne, pointing to Isaiah 61, verse 1, and yet his throne also is in the humble heart, Isaiah 57, 15. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, he points to as well, where God says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So though the heavens and the heavens, heavens, where's the house built unto me? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to be able to fit there. I'm above the heavens. The heavens are my throne. The earth is my footstool. But notice I'm in the heavens and I'm on the earth, and I will be with you who are humble, who humble yourselves before me. I'll be with you in a special manifestation of myself. Watson writes, this is a sad thing to the wicked. God's infinity, his omnipresence, is a sad thing for the wicked. He explains, God is infinite. He is in all places so that he will find out his enemies and punish them. There's no getting away from God, not even in the recesses of our heart. We can lock ourselves in our rooms and he's there. We can try to lock the rooms of our heart, but he's there. There's no escaping him, which is why our conscience are always speaking to us. There's a day where God will speak directly to us. I'm there. I can go right over with you. I was right here. I am right here now. Further, Watson says, let us not limit him. God will not be tied to a place, to a time, or to an instrument. Let us not try to limit or control God as do the magicians. He goes on to say, he will work. This is one of my other favorite quotes. I know I gave it to you Wednesday. It's worth repeating. God will work by improbabilities. He will save in such a way as we think would destroy. Doesn't he say elsewhere, the Lord kills that he would heal, right? The Lord wounds that he would heal, he kills that he would make alive. And many times the things that we think would destroy, the Lord is using to break down that he would build up. But I love that he says he works by improbabilities. He prefers to work that way. He works through small things. He says, Gideon, you have too many people. Get rid of most of them. He says, nothing is impossible for God. I'm going to give you a baby, Mary, by the Holy Spirit. He loves to do these things that just make us, not only is it improbable, but it's impossible. Nothing's impossible for God, and he likes to do things not only that are improbable, but impossible, just to show what he can do. Let us not limit him. As well, he says, we should always feel as under his omniscient eye. Just as we saw in Psalm 19:14, we should always be aware of his presence, that we're before his face. He's always observing. So may we pray indeed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yet Watson also says that this doctrine is a comfort to saints who are overwhelmed with their sins. I mean, doesn't that scare you a bit? And it should cause us to be sober. God is everywhere present, so that will affect the way we live, because we're not going to be able to do anything outside of observance and judgment. Well, when we have a sensitive spirit and a conscience, we're concerned about that. God is everywhere. He sees everything. And you know what? I can hardly see anything in me but sin. But he says this is a comfort, and I repeat this also from Wednesday because it's such a blessing. He says, God is of infinite knowledge. He can spy grace where thou canst not. God can see that holiness in thee which thou canst not discern in thyself. He can spy the flower of grace in thee, though overtopped with weeds. Well, he's everywhere. He's under the weeds. He can see it. Isn't that an encouragement for us? Beloved, wonder in God with the words of Psalm 139. And would you turn there with me, please? Psalm 139. We'll come back to this verse. Turn with me to Psalm 139, one we're very familiar with. And I'd like to read verses 7 through 17. Wonder in God with verses 7 through 17 of Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! I want to particularly encourage you with verses 7 through 10. Let's repeat. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It says, there's no place I can go. You're not there guiding me, my great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, by your spirit. And notice as he went on, he said, even when I was an embryo, there's a word in there that is literally embryo in the Hebrew, has the idea of when I was just beginning to grow in my mother's womb, you were there, you had put me there, and you were weaving me together and working me there. No one knew, even before mom knew, you knew I was there because you were there with me. God is everywhere, even in our mother's womb, even with us in our mother's womb, everywhere. It's tremendous. And God is with us here in worship in a special way, manifesting himself. Remember that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. Now stop and think about that. How limited was this temple, as grand as it was at the time? The temple of the Holy Spirit transcends time. Transcend space. God is right now here with you just as much as he is with the saints everywhere else around the world in worship. He's just as much there as he is here. He is always with his people and before we were born in history past and time to come. Because God, remember, is outside of time. He is infinite. He is eternal. He's everywhere, present, past, present, and future with his people all the time in his instantaneous now in who he is. Remembering that time as well as space is a created thing and he's outside of it. He's eternal. Even Solomon's temple took about 7 years to build. So it was impressive. It's not nearly the size of buildings we might think to compare it with today, but it took 7 years to build. It was ornate. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And it was large. And that's our text for this evening again, 1 Kings 8:27. Where he says, let's revisit that. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? That's the context of Solomon is dedicating this temple to God. And he's recognizing its inability to contain him, as marvelous as it is. One website describes Solomon's temple as, depending on the area, being 30 to 45 feet high. It could be 2 to 3 stories, If you imagine if you're within it and the kind of thing they were doing there, you'd look up, that'd be impressive. You'd certainly have a sense of presence, you know. That's why we like the cathedral ceilings in homes and even here, you know. There's a sense of transcendence. There's a sense of space above us. And Solomon is saying, who am I kidding? Even though this temple's built that way and has that effect for us, you can't be contained here. There's lots of space above to look up, but it's nothing at all for God who's way above it. In fact, he says, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. I mean, wow. Now just zoom out from the temple and out of Israel, out past the globe and into space and then past the earth until, you know, have we seen those lessons about how vast just even our solar system is. You get to a certain place, as you keep going out and out and out, and the earth is this tiny little speck if you get past many, many things, and you could keep on going. You can barely see earth itself. And Solomon says, you're beyond the heavens and the heavens' heavens. They cannot contain you. You're everywhere present, but far above and beyond the heavens. This temple can't hold you. Think about the size of the universe as we consider that God is above the highest heavens. One website says, scientists know that the universe contains at least 2 trillion galaxies. Now think about galaxies and subsets, you know, the solar systems and all those different things. Scientists know that the universe contains at least 2 trillion galaxies. Scientists estimate that the observable universe, the part of it we can see, let alone what we can't see, is around 93 billion light years across. Don't ask me to tell you what that means or quantify it. Just join me in going, what? You know? The whole universe is at least 250 times as large as the observable universe. For perspective, I believe they go on to say, our own planet is 150 million kilometers away from the sun. We're not the farthest planet. Earth's nearest stars, the Alpha Centauri system, are 4 light years away. That's around 40 trillion kilometers. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, contains anywhere from 100 to 400 billion stars. The observable universe contains around 300 sextillion stars. I don't pretend to know what I'm talking about. All I know, it's like, right, you know? Humans occupy the tiniest fraction of it, it goes on to say. The landmass of planet Earth is a drop in the ocean of space. And the whole universe, beloved, multiplied ad infinitum, is a drop in the bucket for God. He's beyond it all. He's above it all. He's infinite. And as big as the universe is, as the highest heavens are, there's no circumference for God. And yet, wherever you are in any of those places, he's the center right there. God is in every inch of everywhere, but outside and beyond and far above and below, infinitely so. God created time and space, and he is completely within them and immeasurably outside of. And I love to think of Chris Tomlin's song, Indescribable. I'm not going to sing it for you. I don't know it well enough to do that. I know sometimes you tolerate that, but I'll just speak it for you. I encourage you to look it up later. I am going to play it after worship while we're fellowshipping if you'd like to hear it. And what brought it to mind is I'm thinking about the awe that we should feel. And when we were at sixth grade camp for our homeschooling network, Heritage Christian School, with Abraham a few years ago, one of the things they did is they showed us how vast space was in some video presentations, and they took us out into the dark area out by Jumul, I think it is, if I'm saying that right. No, Humul, right? I'm sorry. And they just had us sit in this open area, and we sat on the dirt. Some of us laid on our backs and we just looked up into the starry sky. We just marveled into the starry night. And they played this song. And you know, the beautiful thing is it's the first time where I particularly saw wonder and amazement in these sixth graders, including Abraham. It was just this powerful impression upon them. So as we looked up into the starry host, thinking how God is so beyond it all, we heard Indescribable by Chris Tomlin. From the highest of heights to the depth of the sea, creations revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow, who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, all powerful, untamable, awestruck. We fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. And he repeats, and it's worthy to repeat, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. One more time, but notice the shift. Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. Ah, beloved, may that just be what we say all the time. Wherever we lurk, as we see God as the center, wherever we are, and remember there is no circumference to that place, may we just say, you are amazing, God, as we look out over the vast ocean, as we see the sunset stream across the sky, as we look at a little baby first born, may we say, you are amazing, God. As we think about the fact that they're going to do the kind of surgery for Mr. Renner this week, it's incredible what God has made his image to do, even in a fallen state. And the fact that he made our bodies fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139. You are amazing, God, how our bodies work, how they're able to be worked with. You are amazing, God. And brother, be encouraged that where you will be is the center where God is, with no circumference to it. He will be with you as he was with you in the intimacy of your mother's womb. He will be with you as you sleep the way no one else can be. He will be with you. He will care for you. He is everywhere present. He is all-knowing and all-seeing. He is amazing. He is amazing. As Watson says, may you learn to admire where you cannot fathom. Oh, have God admiring thoughts. Adore where you cannot fathom. Oh, beloved, be humbled and worship the eternal, almighty God. Be amazed and be blessed that God cannot be contained or confined. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you wherever you will find yourself, because God cannot be contained or confined. You will always have the blessedness of marveling in him, of being overwhelmed with him, of glorying in him, of praising his majesty, because he cannot be contained or confined. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. You are amazing, God, you who cannot be contained or confined. Let us pray. Almighty God, together we take awe in you. We glory in you. You are amazing indeed. We adore you in all that we cannot fathom about you. But thank you, you have communicated this truth to us. And though it is not in our ability to fully comprehend it, let us continue to grasp more and more in worship, lifting up our hands to you, seeing you as you are everywhere. And indeed, as we do, bless the thoughts of our heart and the words of our mouth to praise and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen.